I might make fun of that also. We'll see how it goes. Greetings. What's shaking, bitches?
You can scream and shout with all your might.
Yeah, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a safe space. This ain't it. Fuck you.
Dig in your heels and hold on tight.
You can shove your opinions up your ass. That way the Trump and Fuhrer's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong, and I am right. Go fuck yourselves. Welcome, friends and enemies, bitches and bitchettes. Continuing where we left off on the previous episode, talking about comic books and why they suck so fucking much. Some of the things that are wrong with them. In case you're wondering, this is Stating the Obvious podcast, brought to you by the Cynical Libertarian Society. It is the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect to hope center and destroy stupid motherfucking statists all around the world. Does not matter what kind of statist you are. You could be a left-wing statist, a right-wing statist. You could be a homo statist. You could be a tranny statist. You could be a cyber statist. You could be a libertarian statist. You could be an anarcho statist. You could be a fucking feminist statist. Whatever the fuck kind of statist you want to be, I hate you, and I want to kill you. Alright. Anyhow, we're picking up. If you didn't listen to the previous episode, too bad. I'm just starting in the middle. Deal with it. Olivia Twist. See, get it? It's like Oliver Twist. But of course, Olivia Twist takes place in the future. Because this is, if you don't read comic books, see, this is like the current shtick for everything, is to take past stuff and put it in the future. Because we have no originality. Oliver Twist. So we'll take Oliver Twist and we'll set it in the future. Because we can't think of anything original. And then instead of Oliver Twist, it will be Olivia Twist. We'll get it, get it. Guys, get it, get it. We're going to make the character a girl instead of a boy. Oh, oh my God. Look how original we are. This will fucking sell. What's it about? I have no idea what it's about. I just see the advertisement for it here. Keep going. Oh, look. Here's a comic book based on Stranger Things. It says based on the Netflix original series because we couldn't come up with anything original. Oh, it doesn't say that. All right. So anyhow, we continue with the story of this young lady who... What the fuck happened? Wait, hold on. Back up a second. Oh, we haven't got to the part yet. Okay, so you see, in this story, the guy back in the day who took his DNA and created the pure master race, whatever we want to call it, so that they all hang out and wear whiteface, he had a sister and a brother. And his sister killed his brother because his sister wanted to take power for herself. So apparently the three of them were ruling this civilization together as a triad, as a triumphant. And the sister killed the other brother wanting to take power, and then he killed her. So in this society where all of these superior people live and walk around wearing white face all the time, they now apparently have this ritual that they're going through. And I don't know if you're, do you have to have two boys and a girl? Do they genetically engineer this? I don't know. So there's some kind of ritual here where that is reenacted. So we have our protagonist, the chick whose name is Kale, and her two brothers. And so in this ritual, she's supposed to kill one of her brothers, and then the other brother is supposed to cut her head off. Now, of course, a highly intelligent advanced civilization would do shit like this where you just kill each other as part of some bizarre ritual. And she decides she's not going to go through with it. Because you see, she's figured out that this is bad, okay? All the other boys, they can't do that. They haven't figured this out. They're all playing. But our little 17-year-old girl with her moral understanding of the world, she's figured out this is a bad thing. Like, okay, fine, whatever. Not believable, because once again, women do not understand the difference between right and wrong. Women are herd animals. Women would be the first to line up to kill a man and then have their own heads cut off as part of a ritual. If you could, I mean, listen, look at the things we've sold women. We, the royal we, our society has sold women on the idea that having a career is better than having a family. Our society, the state, the government, the corporations, the colleges, have managed to sell women on the idea that going and working for someone else in a cubicle for 50 hours a week is better than being at home with your children. Okay, if women will fall for that, you cannot come to me and try to tell me that women have any kind of fucking common sense or moral integrity, because I'm not going to believe you. People with common sense and moral integrity don't fall for stupid shit like that. So anyhow, she is cast out from this planet and she's going somewhere. And that's where it ends. She's put in some kind of little mechanism and tossed off the planet, and she's going to end up somewhere else. We'll see how it ends up, because despite me sitting here and ridiculing it, it's an interesting story. Because for one thing, I want to know, what the hell does the planets moving at different speeds have to do with anything? Is this actually relevant, or is this just some shit? So anyway, I'm going to stick with this one for the foreseeable future. There's only 5 of them in the series. We're going to see what happens. Speaking of reboots, there is a series, I've talked about this in the past because I'm a big fan, called Lucifer. Lucifer made its first run many, many years ago. And I don't have all of that run, but I have most of them. And it is the same Lucifer who is Satan, who is the devil, who was cast out from heaven, who led the war against God, all that other stuff. And the original series was fucking amazing. Really, really good. If you want to delve into a comic book / graphic novel, because you can get Lucifer, the original run, you can get them in the trade paperbacks collected. If you want to delve into something good, along with Watchmen, which is fantastic, and The Dark Knight Returns, which is fantastic, Lucifer is amazing. Great story. Interesting characters. Yeah, anyhow, it's great. It's really good shit. So a while back, I noticed, I'm in the comic book store browsing, and I see Lucifer on the shelf. And I'm pretty sure I talked about this on the podcast also. And I'm like, what the fuck? And they had brought it back. And the person who works at the comic book store informed me that there is actually a television show based on this, which I didn't know because I don't really watch TV. So I'm like, oh, that sounds terrible, because I'm sure it's going to be fucking terrible. Lots of CGI and probably bad writing, because that's what you get. So I started picking up the reboot of Lucifer. I don't know if it's a reboot, continuation, whatever. It wasn't that good. And it just vanished, stopped happening. So I'm like, okay, well, that didn't last. So I'm in the comic book store this time. Look over there, and I see Lucifer. Again, issue 2. So I'm like, really? So we're having another shot at Lucifer. Because we don't have any new fucking ideas. And we can't just leave things alone. You know, it's like Babylon 5. Babylon 5 happened. And then they, J. Michael Straczynski tried to do the next series, the Crusade or whatever the fuck it was called. I told you guys about this. I watched it. It lasted less than one season. I watched it. It was fucking terrible. Oh, it was so bad. It was so bad. Babylon 5. Hands down, the best science fiction series ever. And I say that loving original Star Trek, love original Star Trek with a passion. You know, original Doctor Who. But if you had to say, what is the best, the most well-written, the most... the best structured, the tightest, where everything fits together, where the entire narrative over the entire... it makes sense, and everything comes together, and everything works out, and it's just beautifully written... it's Babylon 5, by far. Lucifer was brilliantly written. Fantastic series. Sometimes you gotta leave shit the fuck alone and stop trying to breathe it back to life, because it's not going to fucking work. So I'm like, okay, issue number two. Like, if I can find issue number one, I'll get it. I'll take it. I'll see what they're doing with it. I'll give them a fucking chance. Did I ever finish? Oh, did I ever finish this? I did finish this. The artwork is okay. The story... very mediocre. Really unimpressed. And part of the problem... so in the original series, he is Lucifer. He is very powerful. He's doing things. He's making things happen. In this book, Lucifer is a prisoner somewhere in this village. And he's partially insane. It's almost... it reminded me somewhat of The Prisoner, British television series. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can Google it, The Prisoner. It is fucking amazing. Highly recommend you watch it. I have it on DVD. Here's the basic story. There's this guy, and he is a like James Bondian type secret agent. And he wakes up and he finds himself in a village. He doesn't know where the village is. And nobody in the village has a name. Everybody just has a number. And he's a prisoner in this village. And this thing only ran for, I don't know, something. It's a very short run, 20-ish episodes or something. You could Google it, you could find out. But it's not like multiple seasons. It goes on and on and on and on. And the whole thing just revolves around he's in this village. He doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know who has him there. He doesn't know what they're trying to find out from him. And he's just trying to escape. And it never works out. And you never even really find out. Like, is he a British agent, an American agent, a Soviet agent? Like, what side is he on? You find out nothing about his background. And... the interesting thing about that series, so it's this guy and he's in this situation, he's trying to get out and he's trying to, you know, escape and to make alliances and to figure things out and to puzzle out what's going on and all this other stuff. And so you go along on the journey with him, or at least I did when I watched it. So when I first start reading the new reboot of Lucifer, or continuation, whatever the fuck it is, the revival, because we have no original ideas. And we've got Lucifer powerless, trapped in this village that we don't really know where it is. And so it immediately reminded me of The Prisoner. The problem is, for me at least, I don't want to read about a Lucifer in that scenario. Because that's not interesting to me. The thing that was appealing about the original Lucifer series was that Lucifer had power and he was making things happen. For example, when God vanishes, right? The angels, they go into the host one day and they're like, "Hey, God, what's shaking, man?" And nobody says anything. And so the angels peek their head into the host and it's empty. God is gone. They're like, "What the fuck? Where's God?" They got Lucifer. God is gone. Lucifer's like, "The fuck do you mean God is gone? Are you nuts?" Like, God's gone. He left. So then Lucifer's got to go up. And where the fuck is God? God's not here. Well, somebody's got to be God. Huh. Who's going to be God? But there's a couple of different people who would really like to be God. I wonder if we're going to have a little bit of fucking action here. Or are we going to sit around for two fucking issues and talk about treaty violations? No. There was no discussion about treaty violations. So I allowed myself a glimmer of hope that the Lucifer comic might possibly go back to some of its former glory. Read the two issues, not real impressed. Now, meanwhile, I have to fuck with my tea. Yes, perfect. Let me go ahead and splash it all over the floor. Lovely. Meanwhile, I'm flipping through the comic book. Let's have a look at the advertisements and the other things that are coming forth from this comic book publishing company. Here we have a full-page advertisement for the Forever Dog Podcast Network. It says right here, and it must be true because it's written in a comic book, says that Forever Dog is quickly emerging as the home of some of the most exciting and fresh voices in comedy. This is a quote from the AV Club. What? No, I don't know what the AV Club is either. So here's their podcast lineup. We've got Teen Creeps. Is that what that says? Creeps. I can't read this. Teen Creeps. It's the book club you wish you had when you were young. That's a quote from Cosmopolitan. Okay. That's mostly harmless. I can mostly ignore that. Here we have Turner Masters Memory Hospital. The quote here from the AV Club says, "It takes some very smart people to write characters this dumb." No, it takes very dumb people to write characters who are dumb. But again, I don't really know what that is. I haven't tried looking any of this up on the interwebs. You could Google it, Forever Dog, as in forever, as in this podcast is going on forever. Dog, as in God spelled backwards. It's where you can send your emails if you want to write to me at god@cynlivsoc.com on the interwebs. The Forever Dog, a podcast network. God, I almost wonder if I should. Oh, man. All right, you know what? Fuck it. Let's feel the pain. Let's feel the pain. Okay. The first thing that comes up on DuckDuckGo is Housebreak Your Dog in 6 Days. The second thing is the Forever Dog Podcast Network. Oh God, they have an Instagram account. Oh my God. Zal Good. Oh my God. Here's their lineup. Oh God. Oh God, help me. Okay, there's a podcast called Food for Thought. THOT. Not making this up. All right, I want to see what this one says. Oh yeah. All right, so there's more than they're just... Oh, here's one called The Unofficial Expert. It's two black women. Okay. I can't wait to see what kind of fucking wisdom they've got for us. Oh God. Food for Thought. A multiracial mix of queer writers. Talk about sex, relationships, race, identity, what we like to read, and who we like to read. It's not about food. We just really like the pun. Oh my God. Okay, so anyway, now let's go to the ones that are in the advertisement here. Did I get that one? Oh, here's The Unofficial Expert. This is the two black girls. Who, all right, I'm gonna admit, actually look kind of cute for black chicks. You think you know it all, but you have no idea. Join these two babes as they sit down with comedians and people of the culture to talk about their fields of expertise. Fields like flirting, porn, daddy issues, online dating, cookouts, stalking, sex toys, and runaway brides. Wow. So intellectual. So. You know, this is great because sometimes I think my podcast turns into a shit storm. It's like, hey, everybody, I'm really horny. They talk about flirting, porn, daddy issues, online dating, cookouts, stalking, sex toys, and runaway bride. Yeah, this is fascinatingly intellectual. This is great. All right, hold on. I got to pull up this one other. Here we go. All right, so here's the ones in the advertisement. Treks and the City. Get it? Get it? It's two chicks on the cover wearing Star Trek uniforms, right? Because it's really cool when chicks act like men, right? This is another thing. This is another reason why women don't figure out right from wrong. Women have been sold this idea that acting like a man makes them attractive to men. We'll talk about this some more when I get to the Ballad of Yoga Pants Girl. Because she's got a little bit of that going on. So you see, boys like Star Trek. So here we got some girls. They are into Star Trek. They're geeks. It's so cool to be a geek. There's another thing I'm fucking sick of. Things I'm sick of. I'm sick of people using the word cool. Well, that's cool. It's really cool. Like grown fucking men use cool. Like, hey, we got to get this. That looks pretty. Yeah, cool, man. Like, no, it's not cool. It's good. It's right. It is visually pleasing. It creates a stunning effect. It results in you having a positive emotional response. There's all these possible things, but it's cool, man. That's cool. Wow, cool. I'm sick of the word cool. I'm also sick of fucking losers trying to be geeks because they think being a geek is cool. I'm into Star Trek. I'm so cool. No, motherfucker. You're just desperate. I'm into Star Trek. I was watching Star Trek when you were a fucking sperm cell. And furthermore, while I enjoy Star Trek and I can quote Star Trek and I think that you can learn everything you need to know from life by watching Star Trek, I don't own a fucking Starfleet uniform because I'm not that much of a goddamn insecure attention whore that I need to wear a Star Trek uniform in order to convince people around me that I'm cool. So there's these two broads wearing their Star Trek uniforms, one of whom looks, from this picture, almost fuckable. Come on. Nothing was found. Her name is a link. I click on her name and I get a thing that says, oops, that page can't be found. Okay, so you guys might want to fix your website. Okay. So in the advertisement in the comic book, here's what it says about, oh, Trek's in the City. See, get it. Slap your knees, kids. Slap your knees. Trek's and the City? Sex and the City? See, Trek's and the City? Sex and the City? Oh my God. Slap those knees. So clever. They're so clever. This is highbrow humor. Don't tell me women aren't funny. Oh, don't tell me women aren't funny. The advertisement in the comic book says this, quote, a refreshing change from Star Trek's heavily skewed fanboy nation, unquote, from Splitsider. I don't know what Splitsider is either. Probably because I'm not gay. Yes, you see, we gotta get a change from all those boys who like Star Trek. Now, what it says on the website here, this is what it says. Trek's and the City. Move over, nerd bros. Alice Waterland and Veronica Asaro are bringing a much needed feminist perspective to the Sci-Fi Roundtable, dissecting Star Trek The Next Generation episode by episode with their hilarious friends. Come on! Who the fuck wants to Okay, Next Generation sucked balls. Who wants to listen to two fucking feminists sitting around whining about how patriarchal Star Trek is? I mean, are you fucking shitting me? Now look, their RSS feed doesn't work. Okay. Now, can I just see... I don't know. Can I get... I just want a summary of... I want to see some episode summaries here. Can I do this? Yeah, this website sucks balls. Read more. Trek's favorite Paul F. Tompkins makes a triumphant return to discuss part one of the season three finale, The Best of Both Worlds, what kinds of sounds data makes, and foolish human feelings. About this show, for the best, oh my God! Oh my God. Take a deep breath. Okay, here's what this is on Stitcher. This is what it says. About this show, for the best in feminist Star Trek comedy. The best. This is the best in feminist Star Trek comedy. Oh, for the best and by the best, they mean vastly inferior to anything that a man could do. For the best in feminist Star Trek comedy, join Alice and Veronica as they watch Star Trek The Next Generation episode by episode and talk about Picard, Troy, Data, Riker, sex, of course. Because once again, women can't have a fucking conversation that doesn't revolve around their vaginas. They can't do it. Hey, could you broads talk about something other than the fucking hole between your legs? Everything in a woman's life revolves around her fucking vagina. And these are the same women. You men, you penis envy, and you're all like having pissing contests with each other, and you're all having dick fights and all this other. No, sweetheart, no. No, we are not anywhere near as obsessed with our penises as you think we are. You are projecting. You women, everything in your life revolves around the fucking hole between your legs, and you project that onto us. Okay. For the best in feminist Star Trek comedy, join Alice and Veronica as they watch Star Trek The Next Generation episode by episode and talk about Picard, Troy, Data, Riker, sex, gender, fashion, and themselves. Of course they talk about themselves. Let me throw this in right now. So if you listen to the Greasy Poll on Monday, you heard Adam Paget giving me shit because I don't talk to women about politics. I can't, God damn it, Adam, I love you to death, but I can't wait for you to start trying to date women because I want to see how this talking to women about politics works out. Hey, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the way you get women's pussies wet is by walking up to them and talking to them about Donald Trump's fucking foreign policy or some shit. I could be wrong. I'm not Roosh. But this obsession that Adam has with talking to women about politics is baffling to me. And so Adam's asking me, well, what did you talk to this? What did you talk to her about? And I'm trying to figure out, what did I talk to her about? And I'm thinking back, and I mean, other than science fiction, I don't really remember. And so any time I'm thinking about it, I'm like, well, what the fuck do I talk to women about? Because Adam has this fascination with talking to them about Donald Trump. And he wants to know what I talk to women about. So I'm trying, well, what do I fucking talk to women about? So I'm paying attention, I'm thinking about it, and I've realized what I talk to women about. I talk to women about what women talk about. And unless you're a virgin toe, you already know the answer. What do women talk about? They talk about their fucking selves. They talk about themselves. And if this is a surprise to you, then I have to assume you've never dated a girl or worked with a girl or been related to a girl or been in the same room with a girl or overheard a conversation with a girl or even seen a girl on television. Because you show me any woman who has ever in her life gone more than, say, 35 seconds without talking about herself, I'll be impressed. So that's what I talk to girls about. I talk to them about themselves because that's what they're experts on and that's what they want to hear about. So anyhow, these girls are going to talk about blah, blah, and sex and gender and fashion and themselves. Of course they're going to talk about themselves because they're feminist. Oh God, I almost want to listen to this podcast, but I can't, I don't think I can bring myself to do it. Let us forge forward because there's so much ground to cover in so little time. Once again, I thought this was going to be one podcast. Here I am on part two. So next up in the advertisement is a podcast called A Woman's Smile. Here's the quote in the printed advertisement says, quote, "What the world needs now ain't love. It's a..." I can't read this because they've got this shitty font that you can't read. "What the world needs now ain't love. It's a scathing, absurdist, intersectional, radical, feminist, alt podcast," unquote. Gosh, another feminist podcast. Another podcast where women talk about themselves and how oppressed they are. I'm shocked. Now, here's what it says on the website. The website says, "A Woman's Smile is a podcast where Patty Harrison and Lorraine Ramirez talk about, well, everything, but especially the gentle and kind nature of a woman's smile." Excuse me while I vomit. Why, oh why, can I just, fuck. All right, let me try this. "I just want to see some episode summaries. No, I'm not going to sign into Google Play. Go fuck yourself." Oh God, all right, let me try iTunes. No, I can't get a fucking summary, can I? I just can't fucking do it. We gotta allow, oh my God, no, I don't wanna fucking open anything on iTunes, just, no. All right, fuck you. Okay, next up. Hang on, I gotta get summaries. Hang on. Copy. Oh, come on. Technology. Gotta hate technology. Go. I got a GPS device I have to update the maps on. According to things, it's gonna take an hour and a half to update the maps. All right. Come on. Please. Can I get some? "In this laugh-out-loud, freaking hilarious episode, Patty and Lorini discuss women in comedy with female comedian Regina." Oh, that's a short episode. What is this? "A Woman's Smile is Spaceship. This episode of A Woman's Smile was recorded in the future. Patty and Lorena's consciousness discuss robots, space, and data." Oh my God. That sounds terrible. "In this real episode, Patty and Lorena take a moment to talk about some things that are important to them." Whoa. Deep. All right, we're moving on. The next podcast is La Culturistas. And here's what it says in the print advertisement. It says, "Top podcast of 2018, Time Magazine. Best podcast of 2017, Esquire. Number one comedy podcast in New York City from Time Out New York." What are the odds that a podcast being praised this highly? What do you think the odds are that Las Culturistas are two feminist checks. Well, if that's what you thought, you are wrong. No, 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 no! It's two homosexual men. Ding dong! Here's what it says on the website. Ding dong! Join your culture consultants, Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang, on an unforgettable journey into the beating heart of culture. Alongside sizzling special guest, they get into is capitalized. I don't know why. Get into the hottest pop culture moments of the day and the formulative cultural experiences that turned them into culturistas. Honey, come and get your life. Come get your life, honey. Come on, honey, these two gay men are going to tell you how to get a life. And finally, so we've got our radical feminist, we've got our other radical feminist. Now we've got our gay men. Gosh, I wonder what's next. Race Chaser. Quote, an open and honest look at RuPaul's Drag Race from the franchise's golden child and prodigal son. Unquote, from Hornet. Yes, right here it says, a podcast devoted to the discussion and dissection of every episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, starting from the very beginning. Hosted by two of the most iconic queens to compete on the show, Alaska and William. Race Chaser is an insider's look at the worldwide phenomena that is RuPaul's Drag Race. And you guys sometimes feel dirty listening to this podcast. You're thinking, God, the Great One really has nothing useful or intelligent to say. He's just kind of babbling and screaming at the internet and moving furniture around and, you know, kissing Aaron Cleary's ass and just basically wasting my life. I am truly an intellectual compared to this shit. Okay. Forever Dog Podcast Network. Painful. All right, let's go forth. Here we got Lucifer with his long beating up people. All right, so now, here we have a two-page spread advertising a comic book. It's a new monthly series. It says so right here. It's called Hex Wives. And the tag here is, when the spell of domestic bliss breaks, the witches will wake. And we've got these picture of these 50s looking, dressed, looking like housewives with their hair up, and they're standing in a giant pentagram of blood. And gee, I wonder, just looking at this picture, I wonder what this is about. Oh, it's about some housewives who are tired of being oppressed by the patriarchy and turn to witchcraft. Gosh, I can't figure out why more people don't buy comic books. I mean, I would love to read this. I mean, over here, we've got the option of reading something like the original run of Lucifer, in which Lucifer has to go figure out where the fuck God went and battle other people for dominion over heaven. And actually restore God, because you see, since God created everything, everything is a part of God. And with God gone, well, the cosmos is going to begin falling apart. So it's not just a matter of who's going to have the power and sit in the throne. It's like we have to do something in order to keep everything from decaying. Now, who would want to read something like that? I mean, that sounds fucking terrible. When you can read about six housewives who are tired of being dominated by the patriarchy and turn to witchcraft. Okay, flip some more pages. Here we go. Here's another full page spread. Okay, full two page spread. Advertisement for an upcoming comic book. It's called American Carnage. A black FBI agent who passes for white. If they catch him, blood will run red. It's a comic book about a black FBI agent who passes for being white. I don't know who they is, but I'll take a wild guess. White supremacist. It's a comic book about an FBI agent who looks white even though he's black. Can I claim to be black now? I look white. I can pass for white. Once again, if being white is so great, all the black people who have any white blood in them, you know what I mean, not white blood, blood is red. Any black person who is related to a white person would claim to be white so they could get in on the privilege. This is a comic book. This is what they're marketing. A comic book about white supremacists and how evil they are, and how this daring FBI agent is going to go undercover. I can't figure out why nobody buys comic books. I can't figure out why comic book sales are plummeting. I'm baffled, baffled, baffled. All right. Got anything else here? No. All right, that was that. Oh, God, I'm almost out of fucking time. Jesus. All right. I'm running out of time, so I got to get this in. So then we come to Supergirl. Got issues 24 and 25 of Supergirl. Issue 25 of Supergirl is a double size issue because they made it to issue 25, which apparently is a big achievement nowadays. Making 25 issues of your comic book is apparently a great achievement, which actually it is considering how shitty most of the writing is. And here's a big part of the problem, also, with comic books. Not just the political feminist agenda, as we've just experienced there, but the fact that you've got something like Supergirl. And it's a comic book. You draw pictures. You do anything you want. You don't need CGI. You don't need actors. Right? And the most boring... Here's Supergirl's plot right now. She's off in space, and she's in a cantina, because you always have to have space cantina scenes. Ever since Star Wars, everybody's got to have a space cantina. And she's trying to get information. I'm just like, are you fucking shitting me? Because she's searching for information about who destroyed Krypton, and it is the most rehashed. Once again, do you know how many times in the history of Supergirl, the character has gone off to find out what happened to Krypton and all this other stuff. It's like, just, my God, you're just rehashing the same shit over and over and over. And then she whips off her cloak and she's beating people up and then all this other shit. And then, you know, she's beating up some more people. And, oh yeah, and she doesn't have a yellow sun, so she doesn't have power anymore, but her power is running low. Oh, this is hilarious. All right, so she's wherever she is. If this is a planet, a space station, I don't know what the fuck she's on. And she talks about how she's running out of energy because there's no yellow sun to recharge her, right? Because in case you don't know this, Superman and Supergirl, they're from Krypton. They have the power they have because Krypton had a red sun, and Earth's yellow sun, that sunlight gives them power. So they're powerful as long as they're within the yellow sun. They get to take them away from yellow sunlight, it starts to drop off. They don't just instantly drop off, otherwise you could kick their asses at nighttime. All right, so she's wherever she is, and she's running out of power because there's no yellow sun. And so she goes out here into the road or whatever, the sidewalk, and there are charging stations. And she goes to the charging station and she puts a little suction cup on her wrist, and the charging station is charging her up with yellow sunlight or something. I don't know. It's like, are you shitting me? Did anybody who... Could you get an adult to write this stuff? And I understand it's a fucking comic book. It's about a girl wearing a belly shirt and a short skirt who flies around and beats people up. I understand that if you're looking for reality, you shouldn't be reading Supergirl comic books. I get that. But there's the suspension of disbelief, right? And you can do suspension of disbelief and also have a coherent, intelligent, well-written story where you take good characters. I mean, Raiders of the Lost Ark. There's no Lost Ark of the Covenant. Suspension of disbelief. But great characters, great plot. Everything makes sense. And they just can't do it. They just can't fucking do it. It's just a matter of opinions. An episode. Oh, you know what? I have to talk about this. All right, we're going to play the music. I'll be back after the music to round out with Supergirl issue 25. Alright, we're back. Supergirl. I keep wanting to say episode 25. Issue 25. So Supergirl is in space. She's in her spaceship. Great one. Where did Supergirl get a spaceship? I don't fucking know. So again, she's on Earth. We don't have spaceships on Earth. I think she borrowed it from Superman. Where did Superman get a spaceship? I don't know. Did he build it? Okay, if Superman could build spaceships, why does he, like, build things to help out the human species or something? I don't know. I don't get it. You know, see, this is one of the things. Okay. The Watchmen, which you've heard me talk about before. Not the movie. The movie sucked balls. Fuck you. In the graphic novel, The Watchmen, you have Dr. Manhattan. Dr. Manhattan can do all this shit. It actually has an effect on society. In The Watchmen, electric cars become a thing because Dr. Manhattan has the ability to, you know, long story, create batteries and all sorts of things that make electrical cars practical. I mean, if you really got Superman, and Superman can really build spaceships, why is Superman hoarding this technology? Is this like a Wankerlandia thing where the Wankerlandians have all this awesome technology, but See, this is the big problem with superhero comic books and superhero stories. Wankerlandia being the perfect example, right? We know that black people are so much better than white people, and black people care, black lives matter, all this other horse shit. So then why did the black people in Wankerlandia hoard all of their technology and wealth and everything and allow everybody else on the continent of Africa to be starving to death and having flies landing on them and all this other shit? Why did these black people not go out and do something to help all these other black people with their wonderful technology if black lives matter so fucking much? So anyhow, somehow or another, Supergirl's got this spaceship and she goes flying through space back to where Krypton was at. So now, she's here. So remember, kryptonite, which is shards of the planet Krypton, weakens Superman and Supergirl, who get their power from the yellow sun. So she's out here in space, and there's this green guy with her. I don't know why there's a green guy, because they needed to put somebody. Whatever. Once again, just bad writing. But she met this green guy with yellow hair in the bar and decided that he could tag along with her. She's in space, where Krypton used to be. There's no yellow sun, so she has nothing to charge her power up. And there's all this kryptonite, and she's going to go out, she's going to spacewalk. Because she's in the spaceship, and the spaceship's got a big giant window on the front, you can see right out there. But for some reason, she has to go spacewalking. And she's being affected by all the kryptonite. So hold on, before she goes spacewalking, they come in there, she's getting affected by the kryptonite. She's in the spaceship, kryptonite's affecting her, so she has to put on the spacesuit, because she says right here, the spacesuit will filter out the effects. Now, how does a spacesuit filter out the effects of kryptonite if the spaceship you're in doesn't filter out the effects of the kryptonite? So now she's got to go spacewalking. So why is she going spacewalking? I don't know. She's out here. She's fucking hanging out in space. And now, of course, some weird bad guy shows up and starts beating her up. And then some shit happens. And then she starts like having hallucinations and shit. And then she's beating up the bad guy some more. But gosh, there's no yellow sun to recharge her. Where's she getting all this energy from? And oh, then here we go. So then Supergirl fires her heat vision at the bad guy. Now remember, Supergirl is in a spacesuit. Spacesuit has a visor. She's shooting the heat vision through the visor. Now somehow or another, the heat vision is magically passing through the faceplate of the spacesuit without melting it. But when it hits the bad guy, now it's fucking melting things. Once again, I know you're saying, great one. It's a comic book. You're trying to find reality in a comic book. Yes, I am. Because it shouldn't be that fucking hard to write a story that is coherent. Once again, I can suspend disbelief. When you tell me there's this girl and she's from Krypton and the yellow sun hits her and it gives her the ability to fly and shoot beams of heat out of her eyes. Okay, I can buy that. But when you tell me she's going to shoot the beams of heat out of her eyes, it's going to harmlessly pass through the visor of the spacesuit, but then affect the bad guy she's fighting. No, no, I'm not buying that. You have to do better than this. You have to suck less. And speaking of sucking less, on the back cover is an advertisement for the Aquaman movie. How is Aquaman a superhero? I don't even fucking get it. There's some more disbelief I can't suspend. Aquaman. Why? All right, that's it. I've ranted enough about this. Catch you bitches on the flip side. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.